All right, everybody, welcome on into the Auburn Daily Show, the Monday edition of the Auburn Daily Show. Lance Daw, Dylan Lark hanging out here with you on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I hope you guys are enjoying all the content we're putting up over at auburndaily.com. If you have not already followed us on Twitter and on the YouTube channel, I want to go ahead and say up front, please subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. Would mean a ton to us here at Auburn Daily. Also, again, if you have not checked out what we are writing up over at auburndaily.com, you need to. Recently, Zach Blackerby, writer over here, interviewed Walker White, Auburn quarterback commit. He's got some interesting thoughts on what White had to say to him up on the website. We've also got some real more recruiting news. And today, Dylan, I want to talk about something that we put up just earlier today, actually, something that I put up earlier today, talking about Auburn football and their spring practice. They are a week away from kicking things off on February 27th. And I want to go through five things that we may see from the Auburn Tigers. Before we get to that, though, Dylan, I've got another brief topic I want to touch on before we move on to those five things. So recently, Bleacher Report suggested in an article that a five-star quarterback could be in the cards for Auburn through the transfer portal after this spring window. We wrote about this over at auburndaily.com as well. According to Brad Shepard of Bleacher Report, he wrote an article recently detailing long shot college football transfer ideas for big name quarterbacks who may lose key position battles. A little bit of a wordy title there, but in the article, he noted that a potential portal quarterback, albeit a long shot for the Auburn Tigers, could be Brock Vandergriff of Georgia, former five-star quarterback in the 2021 class. He's barely gotten to play during his time at Georgia, and it would make a lot of sense considering there are a couple of other guys that could push past him in this quarterback race, this upcoming quarterback race for the Bulldogs. It would make sense for him to potentially want to get out of Athens. And so there are different options, and Shepard goes through those. He says Georgia Tech could be an option, you know, Florida could be potentially an option, but why wouldn't Brock Vandergriff be interested in potentially heading to the SEC West to go play for Auburn? I mean, to be honest with you, it kind of makes sense, especially considering Auburn was pursuing both him and Gunnar Stockton, who's on Auburn's roster coming out of high school.
Yeah, you look at it, and this is one of the biggest QB battles of the entire offseason for literally, it might be, it's top three at the lowest, just because it's a battle of three. Gunnar Stockton, Carson Beck, who I think got majority of the second string snaps, and of course, Brock Vandergriff, who has been hyped up since he committed there 3 years ago, really. I think he's been there a while. But it'd be very interesting to see if he does end up leaving for Auburn. I thought is there like a rule about interconference transferring after spring?
So this is actually something that we were discussing in our Discord recently about how based on our understanding of the rule, and I may be completely wrong on this, like you can't transfer through into your conference or back into your conference to another team. I think there was a deadline, like a window that already passed for that to happen. And based on my understanding of the rule, you can't do that again, or you can't do that even past May 1st. But also I may be misinterpreting the rule, and you can do it after May 1st. I'm pretty confused on it. I would have to go back and read a little bit more. Maybe you understand it better than I do, Dylan. But I mean, you look back last year, when did Zach Calzada transfer into Auburn? It was pre-spring, right? And it was before the window started. So maybe if the Tigers would want him, you can't get him past this spring window. But again, I'm an idiot and I don't quite understand the rules here. Maybe you can explain
it. The portal, I think the portal still is very infancy stage of being that's prevalent in the college football world and college sports world in general. So it may be eventually it might change, or it might not even be a thing to begin with, just because we don't know very much. It's kind of like the NIL. We don't really know much, but we're kind of just like rolling with the punches with it. But again, I think it'd be very interesting to see if Vandergriff did transfer after the spring, which I think he's going to be one of a lot of SEC quarterbacks that we're going to see in the portal after spring practice. I think Ole Miss might have one or two that might end up transferring as well that we could be talking about very soon. And I think with Vandegrift, I'm not too familiar with how his, I don't know if he was a pro style or dual threat quarterback coming out of high school, but I'm pretty sure with the Todd Monken system, they did want a more dual threat caliber quarterback. We thought it was Stetson Bennett. JT Daniels was a little dual thready sometimes, not, he was more of a passer. And I mean, Jamie Newman was another one of those recruits that we saw coming in who, from Wake Forest, who was a dual threat quarterback that Georgia really wanted. And I think that Vandegrift, if he was highly recruited by Auburn, he would have been recruited by the Malzahn camp, I do believe.
Yeah, so interesting note here. Do you want to know who 24/7 Sports compares him to as far as NFL quarterbacks?
Oof. I want to
take a shot in the dark.
Matthew Stafford.
Jarrett Stidham.
No,
is who the comp is. Jarrett Stidham of the Oakland Raiders. That was the eval from a national scouting analyst for 24/7 back in 2021. Was, oh, this guy looks like Jarrett Stidham. And you watch his film, you watch his throwing mechanics. Yeah, kind of looks like Jarrett Stidham with a lot more hair. But yeah, you look at Brock Vandegrift, 6'3", 205 pounds. Coming out of high school, he was a very highly touted recruit, 5-star, top 20 prospect nationally. Again, not quite sure if he would be able to make the Tigers roster just based on my understanding of the rule, but who knows? I think that he could be somebody to look at. And if he doesn't, I mean, he's also a quarterback to look at for, like we just mentioned, a team like Georgia Tech or a team outside of the conference that could be wanted to get on the action. Regardless, though, I think Auburn's going to be looking at a transfer portal quarterback coming from another conference. At least they're going to be looking at a couple. Search for a QB is not over for Hugh Freeze, and he's even said enough. So maybe it's Vandegrift, maybe it's somebody else. I'm not quite sure. Regardless, I think Auburn's going to try and get somebody, but we'll just have to wait and see. Vandegrift would be interesting. Something else that Brad also notes is the fact that, you know, Gunnar Stockton, again, not quite sure about this rule, but Gunnar Stockton is somebody that that was pursued by Auburn coming out of high school, somebody that Auburn wanted. I would be curious to see if maybe something like next year we see somebody like Gunnar Stockton, if he does not win that quarterback battle, if he could potentially transfer to a place like Auburn, because I've always wanted him to come play for the Tigers just based on how he looks and how he operates. I think that he'd be interesting on the plains, but who knows? We'll just have to see. One way or another, I think Auburn's trying to get a QB, and we'll just have to find that out. So that was the article that we had over on auburndaily.com. A little bit more detail over on auburndaily.com if you want to go check that piece out. I want to transition now, Dylan, to kind of five things that we may want to see out of Auburn football throughout spring practice. As I mentioned earlier, spring practice starts in 1 week. We're starting to kind of see Hugh Freeze reset things. Things are starting fresh. And so I think it's about time that we start detailing some of the things that we need out of the Tigers this throughout this spring heading into the offseason. So starting off the top here, this was the first thing that I wrote. Again, you can find this written over at auburndaily.com. Signs of improvement across the offensive line. So as we all know, Auburn's offensive line was porous at best last season, finished 86 nationally in sacks per game. That was good for 12th in the SEC. Freeze came in and said, we're trying to put a massive emphasis on offensive line recruiting. And they went out and they got a bunch of guys through the portal. And in this freshman class, they got a total of 7 guys, if I'm not mistaken. So it's going to be a little bit of a revamp there. I'm not quite sure how many of those 3 offensive linemen through the transfer portal are going to be on campus in throughout this spring. I didn't check that before we sat down. but regardless, I think it's less about the fact of whether or not these guys are all on campus. I think it's more about seeing some improvement, even with some of these younger guys who may already be here. I think Jake Thornton needs to come in and he needs to just be speaking positively about this unit and then producing positive things. We need to see better things out of the trenches. That's probably the biggest thing for me during this spring, Dylan.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Hugh Freeze has been very upfront and saying, this O-line needs to be better because you don't go and pick up, I think, 3 transfer O-linemen and, I guess, 6 or 4 to 6 high school recruits. And they're still recruiting those high schoolers down the line. Auburn picked up a few commits and or a few targets for next year's class who are really big. And I mean, there's one guy, Jaquan McCroy. If you don't know, he's my favorite recruit already for class 2024, if committed or not, because he's 6'8". So O-line has always been a big thing of Hugh Freeze offenses. If you don't know, a lot of his O-line and a lot of his tight ends are in the NFL right now. And I think that it'd be a crime to think that this O-line is not going to be very improved. Gunnar Britton, not Connor Lue. Connor Lue's another recruit that I'm very high on, but Gunnar Britton, I think, is going to be the best left tackle that Auburn has seen since Greg Robinson in 2013, who went number 2 overall and won a few awards himself. And I just think this O-line is going to be very improved. It might be one of the best O-lines we've seen since 2017. And I can't speak enough about how great of a job Hugh Freeze has done in rebuilding and rebranding this offensive line.
This is in no way, shape, or form a diss on the talent acquisition that Freeze has kind of had here over these past few months since getting the job at Auburn. This is in no way, shape, or form an attack or criticism on the players that he's brought in, because like you said, this could be Auburn's best offensive line in a long time. But I think we need to think about the situation here. It's a transfer tackle from Western Kentucky and Tulsa. It's a transfer it's transfers from all these different places from these group of five schools, right? There's a transfer from ECU, previously at North Carolina, but it's a transfer from ECU. I mean, you're getting these guys that are obviously very experienced, and PFF reflects the fact that they are all very talented at their own levels. And again, I think they are going to elevate this line to a place that we have not seen in a very long time. This is going to be a much improved offensive line. But think about what this team will look like in the future when they're able to get their own recruits in. They're able to get an Auburn-level offensive line in. And again, we've not seen that in a really long time, to be honest with you. I don't know if we've ever truly seen like a 4 or 5-star across the board offensive line for the Auburn Tigers, but with Freeze coming in, putting an emphasis on it, we are already seeing him get those types of recruits. I can only imagine what this line will look like in years to come, but man, I am thrilled about guys like Gunnar Britton. You and I have talked about as much on this show. Very excited about this offensive line, this unit as a whole coming into this spring. Want to hear positive things about them, want to see positive things from them. But again, I just can't help but think about the future, Dylan, about what we could potentially see from the trenches if Hugh Freeze sticks around and he's able to recruit as well, because I'm seeing these initial returns, man. And I can only imagine it's going to be good things from here.
Yeah, and I mean, we all talk about Gunnar. I talk about Gunnar Britton a lot. I talk about Connor Lue a lot. And I mean, you got Xavion Miller, whose nickname is Too Tall. Dylan Wade, even though I didn't spell his name correctly, is a certified dog in my book. I just look at this offensive line, and I might be sunshine pumping a little bit, and I try not to when it comes to Auburn football, because as a long-term Auburn fan, they've broken my heart time and time again, more than any girl could ever do to me. And I look at this offensive line, and it's kind of hard for me not to look at it and be like, yeah, this is going to be a great season. And I don't think any of the quarterbacks can really get hurt from this offensive line, because, I say all the time, they're dogs.
Well, knock on wood, nobody gets injured. And that's actually something that I talked about, I believe, our next point I want to get to here. That's a fun transition. Health across the depth chart is actually my second thing on the list here. Auburn struggled, obviously, to stay healthy throughout last season at various positions. I think defensive line was a big point of emphasis for Auburn in terms of what they were doing rotationally because of those injuries. Offensive line as well. Auburn was really banged up in the trenches bad last year. But I think seeing the guys that are returning to form in this spring is going to be big for Auburn. And again, I don't know how many players are still struggling with injury. I know Donovan Kaufman, last time we heard from him, he was kind of sitting out the remainder of the season, or at least whenever he was playing, he wasn't 100% healthy because of some type of foot injury. Getting those guys back to full health as you enter a spring with a new staff, with a new scheme, with this, that, and the other, I think it's going to be very important for everybody to be on the same page moving forward into this offseason. If everybody can kind of stay healthy at thin positions, I'm looking specifically at offensive tackle and edge. Like you mentioned, Dylan, these guys are very important to Auburn's roster moving forward. These offensive linemen, guys like Dylan Wade, guys like Gunnar Britton, these guys are literally dogs, and they are going to need to be fully healthy for the season's kickoff here in September. But yeah, maintaining health at all these different positions, but particularly the thin ones, I think is crucial for the Tigers.
Yeah, you always want your players to remain healthy throughout the spring. You'd love it for the season as well, but a 12-game season is kind of hard to. But if they can just make it to spring, and I trust the staff that Hugh Freeze put together, I think he's put together one of the highest caliber staffs that we've seen in Auburn just because of the names alone around him. I think that if everyone can get healthy and stay healthy throughout the spring, this team's going to be in very good shape, especially with the easy start to the season that Auburn kind of has. I don't want to say Cal's a bad team, but Cal's not a good team. So, yeah, it'd be really nice to see this team get healthy and stay healthy throughout the remainder of the offseason and season.
I think it's really just funny conceptually to think about, you know, looking back at the different opponents Auburn has played over maybe like the past decade, and for their next like non-conference team to be Cal on the road is just a little strange to me. But I'm very excited to see how that game plays out. Again, like you mentioned, not a great team, but definitely not a bad one as well. I think schematically, that's a solid team defensively under Justin Wilcox, but that's something that we can talk about months from now.
Yeah. What's funny is the amount of sports teams that Auburn has that have gone to California in the 2023 year alone. Football's going to Berkeley, basketball went to LA, and baseball's going to LA next week. I mean, a lot of great vacations for Auburn student athletes.
Yeah, a lot of trips to Cali for Auburn students. So hopefully, hopefully they enjoy that, and hopefully they're able to pick up a dub, or at least salvage what they can here for baseball and for football later on this year. Before I get to our third thing here, Dylan, which is essentially a mainstay, I think, of Auburn football springs. This is something that I want to see actually come to fruition, something that we discuss often but never really see much of. I want to tell you guys about our friends over at Prize Picks. This season, Auburn Daily has partnered with our friends at Prize Picks to bring some fun and variety to the picks for 2023. In case you don't know, Prize Picks is a free app that allows you to choose any 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 players from any sport in your wagers. You can predict the over-under for the next game, and you can win big prizes if they do well. They also have flex shot options where you can still get paid winning only 3 of 5 or 2 of 3 of your picks. You can also have multiple sports in the same parlay. And then best of all, you can use our promo code Auburn, AUBURN, to receive double on your first deposit, up to $100. Again, that's promo code Auburn for double on your first deposit. Obviously, Auburn with a massive game this Wednesday, you want to probably take a look at some props for different guys like Wendell Green, Jalen Williams, Ole Miss coming into town. You want to see Auburn kind of get back on track before they finish out what's going to be a brutal end to the regular season. There's going to be some props with some high numbers, I think, against the Ole Miss Rebels for Auburn basketball players. So check it all out over at Prize Picks. Again, use promo code Auburn. All right. Two more things here, Dylan, before we head out. I think this is something that we have seen every single spring/offseason for like the past half decade. It is a wide receiver in spring practice that just gets hyped up to no end. And he may even play well in the spring game. We see the coaching staff hype somebody up as a breakout candidate or a potential budding star or whatever terms the media or anybody wants to use, but we never see it actually come to fruition. We see a receiver play really well or get really excited about what he could potentially do, or fans get really excited about what he could potentially do, and then he ends up being either like a non-factor during the regular season or just like somewhat of an average guy. This offseason, this spring, I think Auburn has a really solid room of physical, tall wideouts that Hugh Freeze could utilize. I would love to see the staff or the media pick one. I would love to see one pop off in the spring game, and I would love to see him actually carry that hype into this upcoming season.
Yeah, I look at this wide receiver from yesteryear, and I remember watching 2 8-day games in a row where Marquise McClain was that dude for those 2 8-day games, and I think he ended up transferring after he switched the defense for a little bit. And also, if you remember some bowl games in a row, I think Elijah Kenyon really popped up as a potential breakout wide receiver, and then we never really got to see him play. This year, you have a free pick of any wide receiver you want to. I think Camden Brown, I think, is going to be one of the wide receivers going to get a lot of hype. Landon King, of course, is going to go into every game with hype. And if you also want to count the tight end position, Valdo Fairweather is that dude. We've been comparing him to Dawson Knox and Evan Engram the entire time he's been on the roster. I just think that this team, we haven't seen a wide receiver kind of take over since, I think, Dakil Williams back in 2015. And, I mean, that ended kind of poorly, but, I mean, he did end up making it to the NFL for a little bit right after the Canadian Football League, of course. But we haven't seen a wide receiver kind of take over the hype train since then.
Yeah, I Marquise McLean was the guy that I was thinking of. Also, in case you are wondering, he did transfer to Southern after a couple of years at Auburn, and then he finished his final year at a little over 400 yards receiving for Southern. So good for Marquise to get out and have some production. It's so weird to go from catching like 35-yard passes against Georgia in 2017 to all of a sudden you're at Southern. But it's, yeah, absolutely. You see different guys kind of rotate in and out. I think Matthew Hill was another one that we were excited about at one point. Nothing came of that, unfortunately. He transferred out too. I don't remember where he transferred to. Was it USF? Am I off on that?
Sounds right. He went Florida. I know that.
It was somewhere in Florida. He might have honestly transferred to UCF to play for. I mean,
if you look at any wide receiver that Auburn's had over the past few years, they've definitely transferred
somewhere in Florida.
If you don't remember, Kyle Davis was another big guy. I'm forgetting the one guy.
He's like
Nate Craig Myers. He went to UCF. He's now a coach there.
He went to Colorado State first, and then he went to UCF.
Yeah,
he just been all over the place.
A little bit of everywhere. Yeah, Matthew Hill went to USF.
Okay.
Just if you take your pick of any wide receiver in the Gus Malzahn, Harsin era, there's very few chance that you might pick one that's still on roster.
And these are not just guys that are like, you know, were like low three stars or irrelevant recruits or any, like all these guys, like Kyle Davis was like a really solid recruit. Like guys like Nate Craig Myers were really solid recruits, and that's why things were expected of them. So when the spring rolled around, guys like Matthew Hill as well, and you started to see them produce whenever they got opportunities in these scrimmages, it's like, oh, these guys are going to be legit. And then we saw absolutely nothing come of them, again, either non-factors or guys that just statistically didn't produce anything. I would love to see, you mentioned Rivaldo Fairweather, you know, we mentioned different guys like Landon King, Camden Brown, Coy Moore, even the transfer from Cincinnati, Nick Mardner, had almost 1,000 receiving yards at Hawaii a couple of years ago under Marcus Davis. So there are plenty of options for Auburn. I would just love to see one of them get hyped up and actually show out. I'm very, very curious to see who that may be. I wrote this down in the article as well. Even Javaris Johnson, who doesn't like fit the mold of like a Hugh Freeze, like a big physical bodied receiver, but like at 5'10", even Javaris Johnson was doing some really good things last year in an offense that didn't know how to throw the football. So what he does in a Hugh Freeze system could also be really interesting. So again, Auburn's got options.
I mean, the best pass that we saw from Robbie Ashford all season was a lob pass to Javaris Johnson in the back corner of the end zone and getting the Iron Bowl.
Yep.
And that pass alone has skyrocketed Robbie Ashford's hype with Auburn fans, because you're like, oh, well, if he can do this more often, we're set. And I mean, I think Javaris Johnson is a great slot guy, but I think with Camden Brown coming in to start, I think Camden Brown's probably gonna get more of the hype just because he's 6'4", man.
Yeah, dude, I am thrilled. It's since day one. I remember stepping out there to watch some like fall camp stuff, and I remember seeing Camden Brown. I'm like, yep, he's next. Like you give him a couple years, that dude's gonna be legit.
That's my dude right there. My back to back Biletnikoff winner in NCAA 14.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Dude popped off with him. All right, shoot. Well, so that's four, and then the final thing here, I kind of added this slightly tongue in cheek, but no drama. That's the final thing I want to see out of Auburn football spring. Can we not do what happened last year, please? Can we just not do that? No, that would be great.
That question fits a lot of things with Auburn football.
Right. So that's why I kind of left it with no detail in the article. I'm just like, I know what happened last year happened. First of all, let's not do that again. But just drama in general. And again, I don't want to take this any place because there are so many different directions we could. But let's just have a drama-free spring where we sit here and we're not worried about some outside factor creeping in to take over the program. We're not worried about some type of injury. We're not worried about some player or coach or whatever doing something that causes the focus to be on them instead of on what's actually supposed to be happening, which is players getting better and developing and getting healthy and getting prepared for the offseason. I would just love to see this team collectively start to do what some media members have been saying, what some coaches have been saying, what the coach that got booted out the door said, which is if we all start heading in the right direction, we're going to see this program elevate. So if we start to see that this offseason in the spring where we just get some baseline consistency emotionally without any drama, I think we're going to be heading in a great place.
Let's just take that area, the era of Auburn football from when Gus Malzahn was fired with the backdooring of with Kevin Steele, take from there to right before Hugh Freeze got hired. Let's put that in a box and let's put it under, put it back in the back of the closet or the attic or the deep dark corner of Auburn's basement.
Can we bury it in the backyard? Can we just go out and bury it in the backyard?
Let's put it under the old oak tree next to Sanford Hall. Let's just do one of those things.
Put it under the Tumors Oak and just let it ride. Just forget about it. But no drama is the final thing that I would like to see out of the Tigers. Dylan, I'm kind of putting you on the spot here, but is there anything else that you would like to see just kind of a highlight point from this team or this program during this spring? There's a lot of different positions that we didn't hit on. So, I mean, there's...
Since I grew up as an Auburn fan, I've seen the Wes Byrams of the world. I've watched Cody Parkey. I've seen Daniel Carlson. I've seen the highs of Anders Carlson. I want consistency at the kicker position. I would like to see Evan McPherson and A-Day. They need to let him kick that ball as far as he can and see how accurate he really is. I need to see that. From the past couple of years, I haven't been able to see the consistency at the kicker position. I need to see that.
Yeah, we need to see the kicker position as a whole step up, and Alex McPherson's another guy in line where you could just see some. You obviously saw the potential last year, and giving him a little bit more time this offseason and giving him an opportunity to show out is going to be great for him. I feel like with guys at freshman positions, you would feel a little bit more concern, but with McPherson, I just don't have any nerves for that at all. Like, I just expect results.
Yeah, I went into last season. I talked about this when I was on my Tank Talks football show on Week 91.1, that I thought Evan McPherson can come kick for Auburn if he'd like to. But Alex McPherson, I kind of assumed he was going to be the starting kicker for 2022, but I was proven wrong by the fact Anders Carlson decided to come back instead of just enjoying his career flying airplanes. So whenever Alex McPherson finally got in, I kind of thought he was a little rusty is the word I'm looking for, because he missed a couple of kicks. But I mean, the power's there, and you give him another offseason, and the accuracy is going to be right behind him. And I think he might be one of the top kickers that we've seen. He's not going to be Daniel Carlson good, but I mean, reach for perfection, you can reach good enough. And I mean, if he's even Cody Parkey level, he's going to be a daggum good kicker for Auburn.
Yeah, and the post Carlson brother era, I think we're going to continue to see some really good kicking for the Tigers. And it's interesting, you know, Gus Malzahn was there through two of those, but the fact that Auburn's continuing to recruit these guys at such a high level, even post Gus Malzahn, threw up Ryan Harsin, and hopefully in Hugh Freeze's tenure, I think just speaks to the fact that, you know, Auburn's kicker you, and there's no other way to put it. It's like there's no program out there better for kickers. So if you guys want to come check us out, then we're absolutely the place to be. So
tell us in the comments, who's your favorite Auburn kicker of all time, and why is it Daniel Carlson?
Yeah, why is it Daniel Carlson? I want a full 5-paragraph essay, 12-point font, all that good stuff. So All right. That's going to do it for today's episode of the Auburn Daily Show. You can follow Dylan and I on Twitter at YaBoyTheTank, at LanceDaw_. You can also follow us on Twitter at the Auburn Daily. Make sure you check out all of our written work over at auburndaily.com. And again, that's going to do it for today's episode of the Auburn Daily Show. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day. We're back on tomorrow.